الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال جل وعلا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد قال جل وعلا لا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشا وساء سبيلا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزني الزاني حين يزني ومؤمن ولا يسرق السارق حين يسرق ومؤمن ولا يشرب الخمر حين يشربها ومؤمن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected elders, brothers and little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Continuing on the harms of the modern technology, the internet, the social media, the mobile phone. Today, inshallah, I'm going to talk about the haram that we expose ourselves to when we use this modern technology. A haram that you and I expose ourselves to is zina. Zina is a major sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لا تقربوا الزنا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, don't commit zina. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't even go near zina. Because zina is such a sin when you expose yourself or put yourself in that position, there is no way on God's earth that you're going to be able to restrain your desire, but you're going to end up committing the sin. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا Don't even go there, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلَ It's a shameful deed and it's an evil path. But again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَزْنِي الزَّانِي هِنَ يَزْنِي وَمُؤْمِنِ وَلَا يَسْرِقُ الصَّارِقِ هِنَ يَسْرِقُ وَمُؤْمِنِ وَلَا يَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرِ هِنَ يَشْرَبُ وَمُؤْمِنِ When a believer commits zina, he's not a believer. When he's committing this sin, he's not a believer. When he steals, he's not a believer. When he takes intoxicants, whilst he's taking intoxicants, he's not a believer. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man zana aw shariba al-khamr, naza'a Allah minhu al-iman kama yakhla'u al-insana al-qamisa min ra'sih." When a person commits zina or takes intoxicants, Allah takes out his iman. Just like one of you, when he takes off his shirt, his qamis over his head, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out his iman. So can you imagine that you're committing this sin and Allah's taken out your iman and then you die in this state? But again, another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ That three people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to on the day of judgment. Allah will not look at them with mercy. Allah will not purify them. And they will receive a painful punishment. The three, شَيْخٌ زَانٍ An old man that commits zina. The second, Malikun Kazab, a king that has a habit of lying. The third, A'ilun Mustakbir, a poor person that is arrogant. Balke on the night of Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown many things. And according to the hadith of Samara ibn Jundab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown something like a tanur, an oven, a pit. Now the mouth of the pit was very narrow, but at the bottom the pit was very spacious, wide. And the Prophet ﷺ could hear cries coming out from this pit. When the Prophet ﷺ looked inside this pit, he saw men and women that were naked. And when the flames would reach them from beneath, below, they would begin to scream, they would begin to shout, they would begin to cry. So the Prophet ﷺ asked Sayyidina Jibreel, "Okay, who are these people?" And Sayyidina Jibreel informed our Prophet ﷺ, "They are the men and women that used to commit zina in the dunya. This is their punishment and will remain their punishment right till the day of judgment." And with regards to the verse of the Quran, لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِنْهُمْ جُزٌ مَقْسُومٌ, that Jahannam will have 7 gates, and for each gate there will be people assigned to it. Atta explaining this gate, this verse says that the worst gate in terms of heat, in terms of sorrow, and in terms of smell and stench will be the gate from which those that used to commit zina in the dunya will enter from. But okay, the smell that will come out from their privates will be such that it will actually annoy the inhabitants of Jahannam, the inhabitants of hell, and they will not be able to tolerate it. It'll give them taklif. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, ayyu dhanbi a'zam indallah?" Out of all the guna that a person can commit, which is the guna that Allah hates most of all? Which is the biggest guna in the sight of Allah? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "An taj'al Allahi niddan wa khalaqak," that you associate partners with Allah, like Allah was the only one that created you. So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, inna dhalika la'azim," that indeed is a big sin. Which sin thereafter, Ya Rasulullah? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "An taqtula waladak khashyata an yat'ama ma'ak," that you kill your son for the fear that he will eat with you. And out of fear that you're going to provide for him, you kill him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud asked thereafter, "Ya Rasulullah, which sin does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate after this?" And this time the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, "أن تزني حريرة تجاري," that you commit zina with the wife of your neighbor. And then Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala continued and said, "Allah verifies this in the Quran and Allah confirms this in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَا اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ آخَرٍ," talking about the believers. Who are the believers? Believers are those that don't call upon another God with Allah. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, and nor do they kill anyone the killing of which is haram. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, and nor do they commit zina. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ عَذَامًا يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مَهَانًا. Whoever does this will incur guilt. He will receive double the punishment, and on the day of judgment, he will receive double the punishment, and he will remain therein, Jahannam, forever disgraced. These are the consequences of zina. Now we expose ourselves to different types of zina when you go online. There are many types of zina. The Prophet ﷺ explained them in a hadith. In one hadith, the mafhum of which is, Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the zina of the eyes is to see what you shouldn't be seeing, looking at what you shouldn't be looking at. The zina of the ears is to listen to what you shouldn't be listening to. The zina of the tongue is saying or speaking to those that you shouldn't be speaking to. The zina of the hand is to touch what you shouldn't be touching. And the zina of the feet is to walk towards what you shouldn't be walking towards. And the zina of the heart, والقلب تتمنى وتشتهي, the heart desires to commit the actual zina. So that's the zina of the heart. Bearing this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us now apply this when you and I go online. Look at the different types of zina that we expose ourselves to every single day, thousands of times during the day. Zina of the ears, listening to what you shouldn't be listening to. Zina of the tongue, talking to those that you shouldn't be talking to. Zina of the eyes, looking at what you shouldn't be looking at. And these types of zina are rampant.
We're committing them on a daily basis, hundreds of times, and we don't even realize. I mean, just look at the last one, zina of the eyes. Looking at what you and I shouldn't be looking at. Whether it's looking at obscene pictures, or whether it's watching filth. And I'm talking about pornography. You know, the question isn't who doesn't watch it. The question isn't who watches it. The question is who doesn't watch it. Illa man asima rabbuk. Only those who Allah has protected from this sin probably don't watch it. But you know, the general masses, whether they believe or don't believe, are all eye. Young, old, male, female, married, not married. But okay, one website released this information, 2016. One website released this information, 2016. I'm not going to give the name of the website. The information that they released was that its videos were watched 92 billion times in a year. 92 billion times in 1 year. You know, that works out at 12.5 videos for every child, for every adult on this planet. 94 billion times. That's just information from one website. How many websites are there? You know, if I were to do some homework and bring all that information, how many videos do you think that would make it for every person on this planet? Now, do you understand? My question was, you know, it's not about who watches it. The question is, who doesn't watch it? And if you do your research and look at the data for Muslim countries, yeah, you know, people with sane minds and that have haya probably get a heart attack. And the figures are not, you know, hundreds or thousands or millions. Yeah, they're in there, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions. You know, they tell us it's harmless. And that's expected. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. If they told us it was harmful, they'd be losing millions in revenue on a daily basis. Irrespective what they tell us, 1400 years ago, Allah and His Rasul ﷺ declared this to be haram. There's no place for this in Islam. No place whatsoever for this in Islam. But okay, if you look at research today shows it's harmful. Research today shows it can change and rewire a consumer's brain. Research today shows it's destroying our values. The more filth that you watch, the worse it gets. Yeah, I mean, things which you once considered despicable, disgusting, morally shameful, you know, when you watch this film again and again, you begin to accept it and see nothing wrong with it. It gets to a stage where every woman that you look at, you think she's a sexual object. Allah's only created her to serve you in the sexual sense, that she's just there to fulfill your desire. It gets to a stage that, you know what, your own maharim, women that is haram for you to marry, whether it's your mother-in-law, your sister, you begin to look at them with evil intention. It gets to a stage where pedophilia, that you don't even spare children. Okay, how many times you hear on news? People being imprisoned for what? raping children as young as 6 months, 1 year of age. You know, when you don't have values, then where will you stop at? If there's no hudud, there's no limits, where will you stop? It doesn't stop. But okay, a stage comes where you won't even spare animals. A stage comes where you don't even hesitate to drink semen and urine. I mean, what hope is there in a qawm, in a nation, that doesn't even spare animals? I mean, is this qawm? Is this nation? Now, will there be a Muhammad bin Qasim born there? Al-Jabir, Khwarizmi, Ibn Sina, a qawm like this, will it contribute to civilization? Never in a million years. Research shows it causes erectile dysfunction and many, many other problems. And the list will continue. I'm not here to tell you all the harms. Now, when people watch this film, what will they do? Let me tell you what will they do. When you watch this film, the only thing that you want to do is release. How will you release? You'll either commit zina. And the more zina is committed, the more STIs. And if you don't commit zina with a woman, then what will you do? Nakihul yad. You will marry your hand. And again, both are haram. Prophet ﷺ said, 7 people which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will curse on the day of judgment, one of those will be the person that married his hand. Allah will curse them and Allah will not look at them with mercy on the day of judgment. Well, okay, in summary, ayat is mentioned, you know, on the day of judgment, some people will be resurrected in such a state that their hands will be pregnant. Why? Because they used to play with their organ in the dunya. Can you imagine the humiliation on the day of judgment that you're resurrected with in such a state that your hands are pregnant? And the day of judgment is no joke. I mean, can you imagine the humiliation in the dunya? You know, before we even start thinking or trying to comprehend the humiliation on the day of judgment, can you imagine the humiliation in the dunya? Let's say you're watching this film and you were caught. And this person that caught you threatened you that I'm going to tell your mother and father what you were doing. How would you feel? How would you feel? Your head would drop. If you would, you know, now, if you have to kiss this guy's feet or give him whatever you possess just so that he doesn't tell your mother and father, you'd be prepared to do it. Why? Because deep down you know what you're doing is wrong. Deep down, you know this is filth. And to save yourself from humiliation and to save your dignity and honor, you'd be prepared to kiss this guy's feet because you know after that, you'll never ever be able to look at your mother and father in the eyes. And you fear that because of humiliation. If this is the humiliation that you fear, in terms of the dunya, can you imagine the humiliation on the day of judgment? If Allah exposes this sin of ours on the day of judgment, what face will you and I show? And believe me, like I said, you know, the day of judgment is no joke. In the dunya, you'll get away with murder. But you know, in the akhirah, nobody will get away with anything. But on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to disgrace certain people. Certain people on the day of judgment, you know, when they will be resurrected, they won't walk using their feet. Allah will make them walk on their heads and their feet will be in the air. Some people will come on the plane of resurrection, on the day of judgment, that they will be carrying camels on their shoulders. Some people will come on the day of judgment, they will be carrying cows on their shoulders. And these are people that didn't pay the zakat. But again, when the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, those that didn't pay zakat, their maal will be a bald serpent around their neck, and it will keep on biting them on the plane of resurrection. This is how people will recognize that this person never used to pay the zakat. Those that used to beg in the dunya, when they were resurrected and they come on the plane of resurrection, they'll have no flesh on their face. And this is how people will recognize this is the sin that they used to commit in the dunya. So Allah is going to disgrace people on the day of judgment. Dunya, you get away with murder, but in the akhirah, no one gets away with anything. And you know, there are guna and then there are guna. You know, even in the dunya, you know, you commit sin, I commit sin. Sin is bad. But you know what? If somebody were to know of that sin, you'd still be able to face that individual. You'll feel bad within, but you'd still be able to show face. But there are certain sins that even, you know, in the modern world, look what happens in prison to pedophiles. And like if those that are in prison are not angels, they're in there because they've broken law. But when they go, when a pedophile goes in prison, what do? How many pedophiles they've killed inside? Because you know, even within sinners, there's different categories of sin. There are certain sins which society is not prepared to accept. So likewise, you know, there are sins that you may be able to, you know, face people with if they were to know about it. And then there are sins that, you know, you never want anyone to know. And can you imagine if this sin of yours is exposed on the plane of a resurrection, where every single human being that Allah has ever created is on the plane of resurrection? Your mother's there, your father's there, your brother's there, your sisters are there, your entire family is there. Every prophet from Adam, including to our beloved Nabi Muhammad, is on the plane of resurrection. And there's a screen there, the sin that you used to commit is being played on screen, and every single person is watching this. Let me ask you, my young friend, how would you face your Nabi after this? How would I face my Nabi after this? How would you face Allah after this? Like I said, there are sins and then there are sins. This is why it's important that you fear Allah. Fear Allah and fear this disgrace on the day of judgment. Never mind the disgrace on the day of judgment, look at the disgrace in the dunya, because there's many harms. You know, I mentioned erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation. Let me throw a scenario at you. A lot of these young lads that are not married, let me throw a scenario. You've been committing this sin in private all your life, now you've got married. Okay, you're married. It's the first night, second night, or whatever. You're coming to your wife to satisfy your need and your desire. Okay? And you've come and you realize you're suffering from erectile dysfunction. Can you imagine the humiliation? Or this is what happens. You've come to satisfy your desire with your wife and you realize there's a hole in your bucket. All your water's leaked before you've even watered the garden. Do you get it? You've come to satisfy your need and you realize there's a hole in your bucket and the water's come out before you've even watered the garden. First time round, she probably just laughed at it. You come again next week thinking things will change. Again, there's a hole in your bucket, and before you're even able to water the garden, the water's gone. She probably smiled the second time, the third time, the fourth time. But how quick do you think that smile will disappear? 3 months down the line? 6 months down the line? How long do you think she'll wait? She's a woman. She has needs. You're a man. You can't satisfy them. What do you think she'll do? You married her. You can't take care of her. She's gonna wanna out. She'll wanna go. She'll wanna leave you. She'll wanna divorce. Now you're, mashallah, one of those son-in-laws that's got more regard for his mother-in-law than his own mother. You take her shopping. You buy her gifts. You take her umrah. You're doing everything. Now your wife wants divorce. How is she gonna ask for divorce? Because you're the ideal son-in-law. She's gonna have to tell her mother and father. So she'll tell her mother and father. What do you think her mother and father will do? Zahir by the, you just can't ask for divorce just like that. You're somebody's son. So they'll approach your mother and father and say, you know what? There's a problem with your son. He's not much of a man. And as a result, if you can ask him to divorce my daughter. What face will you show? You know, youngsters come up to me and say, that suffer from these type of problems, that sadly we can't even go to the doctor. You know why? Because we fear that, you know what? If the lads get to know, then we're dead. And I understand where they're coming from. Yeah, because when lads take the mick, it's difficult to handle. Because you suffer, I'm not justifying anything, but you know what happens in the real world. You suffer something from like this, and one of the lads knows, you know, from there on till the day of judgment, you're not in a position to speak in any gathering. The day you open your gob and your mouth, he'll put you straight and say, forget this. You just go take care of yourself. You're not much of a man. And your face will drop. Can you imagine the humiliation? Another harm? 50-55, you'll be finished. Tuss. Have you seen a balloon? Balloon, when you blow it, full of life. When you take out the air, lifeless. You'll realize, you know, those that have been doing this all their life will realize, 50, 55, they're finished. No energy. Not much of a man. Why? Because they abused themselves as they were growing up, doing this haram stuff. Now what's going to happen? You're 55, let me put a scenario to you. You're 55 and your wife's 50 or whatever. You're finished and she's game on. What will you do? Tablets don't work. What will you do? What can you do? Nothing. What do you think she will do? Let me tell you of a scenario. This is not a scenario, this is real life. Not long ago, a woman came to me at the age of 60. And this is what she was complaining about. He's not much of a man. He's finished. I'm chipping. She actually asked her husband to go find him, to go find her a real man so she can marry him. That's what will happen. That's what will happen. And you know, when she chips, she's going to tell the world. Because right about there, you married someone for 30, 40 years, and everything's rosy, you're going on holiday every year, and everything's fine. And all of a sudden, you're divorced, your friends are going to know. So your friends are going to ask you, you know, all of a sudden, you're not marrying Ishi anymore. What's wrong with Ishi? Just an example, yeah. Ishi's fine, believe me. But I'm just saying, you know, they'll ask her, you know, all of a sudden, you never had an argument, mashallah, you know, honey this and honey that, and all of a sudden, you're fine. Zahir about it, to save her own dignity and honor, she's just going to blag it. She's going to say as it is, okay, mashallah, Ishi was fantastic in every department other than one department, and I can't make sabah. Anything that you abuse is not going to last long. You've got a blender at home, and what you do is, there's instructions. It tells you don't crush ice. How long is your blender going to work?
You've got a car, it's diesel, you put petrol in it. How long is it going to work?
Likewise, if you misuse Allah's blessings, they're not going to work. And a blessing like this, if you're deprived of it, because you abused yourself as a child growing up, doing things which you shouldn't be doing, then it's going to bring about humiliation. And then mashallah, you have Allah wali, godly people, who use Allah's blessings as they should be used. And mashallah, everything's functioning even at the age of 100. Another harm. Marriage is a great disappointment. How is marriage a great disappointment? Zahir about that, people that watch this filth, you know, when they get married, that's what they're expecting. What happens when reality hits them? They're bamboozled. They're in a state of shock. How many young lads I've spoken to, they'll come to me, you know, and say, Ustadi, you know what? I'm not happy, man. I'm married, but I'm not happy. There's no dynamite. There's no fireworks. She's very passive. I'm not happy. So then you start talking to them and asking me, what do you mean you're not happy? You know, when you get to the bottom of it, you realize he's been watching porn all his life. So when he got married, that's what he was expecting. So then you've got to explain to them and say to them, you know what? These movies that you watch, these action-packed movies, you've got Stallone, Rambo, taking on the whole world by himself. Yeah? Millions of bullets and he's dodging every single one of them. Okay, they're shooting bombs at him and he's picking them and chucking them back. Jumps from a skyscraper and he still gets up. Do you think you could do that? So he said to you, you know what, Stan, you stop taking the mickey out. You know it's a movie. It's not real. So I said to him, you know, just like this is not real, that's also entertainment. And then I explained, can you remember the first lesson that you took for driving? How many times did you steal the engine? Stole the car? Mess up? I said, many times. I said, you took many lessons after that. He says, yeah. I says, now years have passed. How is you driving now? He says, you know, now, Ustaji, I can close my eyes and drive a car. That's how good I am. Then I say, you need to understand this, guys. Then I say, you know what? Go home and fall in prostration and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing that you got at home. He says, why? I said, let me tell you. If she were Nigel Mansell on the first night, then I can guarantee you she's been taking lessons elsewhere. And then they get it. Another harm, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَ مَحْشِي. Your haya goes totally. People watch this film, there's no haya left, no modesty whatsoever. And I gave you examples. Let me give you another example. How many people you will see will go online, put their pictures? Men as well as women. How many women you'll see that when they start putting their pictures online, mashallah, they're fully covered. Only thing that they're revealing is their face. Then they'll get a few likes, a few comments. Oh, mashallah, you're so beautiful. Yeah. They'll egg her on, and she'll take off her scarf, and she'll put on a picture with a beautiful face, and mashallah, beautiful hairstyle. And she's fully covered with an abaya, long dress, everything. Then she'll get a few more likes, and what happens? Off comes the abaya, and she's wearing a long dress. A few more likes, and the dresses get shorter and shorter and shorter. Gets to a stage where there's no dress now, just a t-shirt. And then it gets to a stage of sexting. From fully covered, it gets to a stage of sexting. You sell your dignity and honor. This is how low we stoop. You sell your dignity and honor for nothing. There are women out there that sell themselves. I'm not saying it's right, but they charge for that service. And we're selling ourselves, our dignity and honor for nothing. These are all the consequences of going online. Alanki al-hayau shu'batun min al-iman. Haya is part of iman. Haya is the attribute that differentiates, one of the attributes that differentiates between humans and animals. Animals, they just follow their instincts, their desires. They don't know right and wrong, halal, haram. That's why animals, some animals don't even spare their own mothers. Human beings have haya, modesty, especially believers. And it's this haya of a believer that stops him from committing sin and that encourages him to do good. Look at the Prophet's haya. Prophet was so modest that in one hadith it's mentioned, the Prophet was more modest than a virgin inside her veil. Our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala narrates that in spite of the fact that for a man to see his wife from head to toe is permissible, and for a wife to see her husband from head to toe is permissible, she says, not once did the Prophet ever look at my privates, and not once did I ever look at the privates of the Prophet. You are Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, I read every week, Ashadu Hayat Usman. Yeah. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was such that on one occasion, I'll narrate this and I'll finish, that the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr came. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked for permission, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him permission, he sat with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then came Sayyidina Umar, he asked for permission, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him permission. Sa'd ibn Malik came, he asked permission, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him permission. Then Sayyidina Uthman came. Now when Sayyidina Usman came, the Prophet ﷺ was sitting down talking to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala jama'in, and his thighs were exposed. So the Prophet ﷺ covered his garment, used his garment to cover his thighs, and he told Aisha to go back. So as Usman Ghani entered, they talked, and after a while all the Sahaba left. So as Aisha asked, Ya Rasul, I don't understand. Abu Bakr came, Umar came, Sa'd came, you let them come, you didn't rectify your garment, and nor did you tell me to go behind. But when Uthman Ghani came, Ya Rasulullah, you rectified your garment, you covered your thighs, and you told me to go behind. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha, wa Aisha, should I not be shy from a man from whom even the angels are shy of? I swear by Allah, the angels are shy of Uthman just like they shy of Allah, his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he were to enter in this state that you're next to me, he wouldn't have even uttered a word and raised his head till his departure. This was the haya of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala jama'in. Where do you and I compare? Let us fear Allah and save ourselves from humiliation in this dunya. You might get away with it in the dunya, but you and I will not get away with it in the Akhirah if Allah takes us to account. And let us save ourselves from this humiliation on the Day of Judgment. Because like I said, there are guna and then there are guna. How would you be able to face Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam with such a guna when there is no need to commit this guna? You know, a poor person stealing, he might be able to justify on the Day of Judgment. But why would anyone need to commit this guna when it's halal for him to get married and satisfy his desire and his need the halal way? When Allah's made it halal, then why is there a need to resort to haram? And like I said, you know, once you start, it doesn't stop. Look at the society. Look at people. Look how low people have stooped. Look where they started. Yeah. That they don't even spare animals, they don't even spare children, and they even drink urine and semen. What next? You know, when there's no deen, then this is what becomes of the human being. Allah give me the understanding, Allah give me the understanding. Azan.